Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
My name's James Higgins. I was born the same month PlayStation 3 came out.
I am Porter Bartone, and I was born 1 month before the Nintendo Wii came out.
My name is Matthew Schaefer, and I was born 2 months after the first Transformers came out.
My name is Michael Misa. I was born 3 months before Spider-Man 3 came out.
My name is Jake O'Brien, and I was born the same month the final episode of The Sopranos came out.
My name is Caleb Denoy, and I was born 1 month before Shrek 3 came out.
My name is Jackson Smith, and I was born 2 months before the last Harry Potter novel came out.
You know,
wow.
None of those dates really mean much to me, though. That's the thing.
I think the only one that hit me the most was Shrek 3.
Okay, so what Shrek year is that?
What I don't know. That? I just know Shrek 1 was like when I was a kid.
These guys were born in 2006, 2007. 2007.
All those guys were born in 2007.
Born in 2007. The way to drive it home for me is, my name's so-and-so, and I was born the day that Breer and Drury left.
Right.
Right? Or, hold on, let me do
right, like Matthew Schaefer was born September 5th of 2007. So he was born after Breer and Drury left.
Well, the way I want to do that is, hi, my name is Matthew Schaefer, and I was born 4 days before the Kevin Everett game.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
Like,
there you go.
I'm much more likely to be able to slot my years and how far away that was.
Sure.
That the Bills lose that game 15-14 on a late field goal, that's the Kevin Everett game, right? That's September 9th.
That is Jason Elam sprinting onto the field with like 5 seconds left and kicking a field goal.
That does feel a long time ago. It's 18 years.
Yeah, it does.
So I know they're
that
young.
That was a long time ago.
And I know that I'm old, but older. But, you know, you tell me you're born when the Nintendo Wii came out. Like, I don't know what that was. When that was.
You didn't have gaming systems, though? Like, was your first one?
I had them all the way up. I had my first one is Nintendo. I had gaming systems all the way up.
How far back is, like, okay, so the Nintendo ones.
The Nintendo.
On PlayStation.
I never had an Atari. Yeah, I went from Nintendo to PlayStation, sure. Okay. So I had a PlayStation 3, but I wouldn't just associate like the year it came out. Yeah. I don't really know.
And movies isn't working for that either. Spider-Man 3, this Tobey Maguire
Spider-Man
3.
Of all the movies to pick, picking one where there are 1,000 different versions of the movie is tough.
Well, that's where you get if you get the three in there, I think is what really makes it hit. It's not just Shrek, it's the third Shrek.
Okay. Still. Doesn't do it for me. If he had said instead, my name is so-and-so, and I was born the year that, like, what's the best picture in 2007? That's what I want to know. The year that
the Patriots went undefeated.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that better?
I guess. 2007.
Doesn't that seem like longer? That seems longer ago to me, though, than any of these other cultural references. I think.
Maybe.
Kevin Everett game feels like a lifetime ago. PlayStation 3 doesn't, for some reason.
Right.
It's only two gaming systems ago for me. So, depends.
Like
Sopranos feels long ago.
That does feel long ago. Another movie that came out the same year as Spider-Man 3 is the movie 300.
There you go.
Like, that's a one-off. I'm more likely to remember that time than one of the 37 Spider-Man movies in all the multiverses that have been made. That said, all the multiverse movies are awesome.
What about Click?
No idea.
No?
What's Click?
Okay.
The Adam Sandler movie?
Never mind.
Am I supposed to remember what year that came out in 2007?
Yeah. No, we're good.
I did not see it.
We don't need to go into a Click history here.
Hey, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Happy Friday. Hanging out, talking, you know, kind of some Sabres offseason. You want to throw a call our way, we're happy to take it. The McDavid sweepstakes are about to get interesting, right? He was as non-committal as you could be about Edmonton, which doesn't mean he's eyeing the door. He just is not committing. He's not committing to the future yet. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
Yep.
You know, anytime you go into a contract year, it's the same as the Tuck situation. Without obviously different players, different organizations, but the same contract. Like, we're not going to trade you. We need you here this year. We'd love to keep you. And if you ultimately leave, okay. I do not think this is for either player a scenario where the team should say, well, got to get what you can. I wouldn't do that with Tuck. I wouldn't even consider it. There's, to me, no reason to rush the timeline on Tuck. If the Sabres want to re-sign him, that's fine. To that point about re-signing Tuck, so am I off base on this about age of players? It feels like this drought is how long? 14 years?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like for a good long chunk of it, we have been talking about young players and the youth, this player doesn't fit their timeline, right? Oh, mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to trade for Jacob Chychrun. He's 27. Okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, it feels like, and maybe we were doing it, maybe the Sabres were doing it, maybe chatter around the Sabres was this, that, oh, too old. You don't want old guys. And I think in the NHL, that's not a thing anymore. Matt Duchene signed an extension yesterday
mm-hmm.
for 4 years.
Yeah.
Do you know how old Matt Duchene is?
Is he like 33?
34.
34. Yeah.
Joe Pavelski played until he's 80. A lot of these veterans play for a long time. And is it a coincidence that the Sabres sign a guy, Jason Zucker, 32, last year? And I go, well, that's kind of old. And he was good. And they sent him to a 2-year extension?
Mm-hmm.
Do I really have to think that Alex Tuck is going to be too old when I sign him to a 7-year deal? I kind of don't think I do. I see tons of NHL veterans. It's not like the NFL where guys drop off a cliff.
Yeah.
Think of how fast you go from the peak to too old. Sorry, you're done. That can be Dalvin Cook. That can be Diggs. That can be a lot of guys. Oh, boom, it's over for you. In the NHL, I see lots of guys playing into their mid to late 30s.
That's right. There are also examples on the other side.
Like, that's right, but I don't want to treat it.
Chris Kreider is a guy who, like, but he can be a little bit of your point, too, where up until age 33, really good.
33.
And it was just this last season where finally it's like, okay, the wheels look like they're starting to fall off.
How old is Brad Marchand?
37.
37.
Yeah.
This is not a sport that if you are good and you can stay healthy, the young guys come in and they don't just blow the doors off these old guys anymore.
I think that there's a big part of it, though, that is, I think a lot of these guys that, most of them, that have lasted long into their careers have a certain trait in common, and it's their skating. Because I think the slow guys, think of Matt Molson at the end with the Sabres, right?
Right.
Or think of Skinner right now, like, as he kind of ages. I feel TJ Oshie was this a little bit for Washington. They signed him to a long-term deal. He didn't make it to the end of that. I think if you're a great skater, you have a longer shelf life. And that's Marchand. That is, I mean, Kreider even until this year, really fast skater. Tuck is one of the fastest skaters in the league. Like, he's got that trait. That's where, like, I look at him and say, okay, sure, when he's 35, maybe 36, it might fall off, but I don't know if I want to assume that with him. Because you're right, like, Corey Perry was just on the first line of a team that was in game 6 of the Stanley Cup final, and he's 40? That might say a little about the Oilers, too, that...
Well, they're missing Zach Hyman.
They're missing Zach Hyman, but their depth was such that one injury got him to their first line. But
how old is Zach Hyman?
I don't know how old Zach Hyman is.
33.
And he scored. Didn't he score 50 goals last year?
But do you remember the same way that I do?
It is not automatic. Like, it's not running backs in the NFL where there's like three guys that past 30 can still produce. Like, there are a number of examples in the NHL.
And do you remember it the same way as I do? I mean, the Sabres have been I don't know where I could do this. Ask Google, ask AI. How many times the Sabres have been one of the three youngest teams in hockey in the last 10 years? Oh, is it every single year?
I mean, I can look by year. They've been at least bottom five.
It's almost like they're allergic to veterans, and they finally started to add some. Granato convinced them to get, like, a Greenway. How'd that go? It's gone pretty well. He plays his role well. Zucker, that's gone pretty well. The idea of adding veterans in the room where they can make a difference mm-hmm. and, I don't know, make the team a little bit more of a, I'm not trying to insult the guys on the team that are adults, but an adult team, a men's team. It's been this promise of a kids team that's kind of grow into something, and they never really supplemented it with, they acted like they were allergic to guys that were 28. And right. I'm watching guys that are 34 get extensions from great teams. So part of my adjustment is, you know, open it up to guys on the back end that can contribute for you. And I guess that's Eric Staal to a point, too. But that's the very end for him.
No, I know. And I'm looking back in that season, where did the Sabres rank 25th that year from oldest to youngest.
Yeah.
So,
and they're doing it with goalie. They're doing it with Craig Anderson. They're doing it with, like, on and on.
You got to go back to 2019 to find the last time the Sabres were outside the top 10 in the youngest teams in the league.
2019.
And they were barely. They were the 20th oldest team. So when's the last time they've ranked inside the top 20?
A top half team in terms of age.
Top half? Yeah. I mean, it might be the whole drought.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Honestly,
yeah,
they have always been young. And that's where, like, any trade this season that sounds like, you know, picks and prospects, like, just I'm at a no thanks. The Sabres are kind of, I think, only able to go in one direction, but that's, I think, the right direction. Going younger just doesn't make any sense. Like, to me, they have to go older, and they also should go older at the same time. So, I don't know, like, in just waiting and waiting and waiting for guys to grow into it, this is kind of the point of the last core of it. Like, you're waiting, by the time some of these guys have matured to the point where they're the veterans, they're not here anymore because you've asked them to go through 6 years of losing before they are, you know, really reaching maybe their peak maturation date. You know, Dahlin is just probably hitting, like, this is the prime of it. This is Norris prime of his career. And by the time you've reached that to where, oh, he's not a kid anymore. He's not 22 anymore. Now he's like, man, one more year and I'm done. Two more years and I'm done. Just because you're sick of it by that point in time.
Yeah.
It really is a point to say, don't bring him up early yet. Don't start the clock, not just the clock on their contract. Don't start the clock on them getting fed up with losing. Zach Benson, you know, whenever it's, okay, he's on the Sabres, it's more, wow, how can you have a team where an 18-year-old can even make the team like that? Or do you want to start burning his contract already? Start thinking of it more as Zach Benson is 20 and he's already 2 years into a certain threshold that everybody can take. Wait till he's 21 to get here, because then by his fourth year where he's starting to get frustrated, well, he's 25 instead of now where, like, in 3 years he might be like, man, this is brutal. And he's still only 23.
Brad in Lackawanna. Hey, Brad.
Morning, gentlemen. So you guys had a lead up, and I appreciate you guys. I really do. I just unselfishly want to start before my Sabres comment. I was watching the news this morning. There's this kid in Buffalo kid. It's a Bilson family. I don't even know these people, but I seen it on the news. So I emailed the president, and I figured, well, that might not go very far. So I thought maybe the Buffalo community might be able to step up to help this kid in any which way or form. It just seemed like the right thing to do. And with that said, I just wanted to talk about the Sabres real quick. And I thought that if we were going to pay veterans like Marchand, obviously we wouldn't want to overpay. But it would be nice to add him, maybe Jonathan Marceau, Jonathan Martinez, and Gabe Perreault from the Rangers, and then just get rid of our bad contracts. And that's where I wanted to lead with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How many bad contracts the Sabres – thanks, Brad. How many bad contracts the Sabres have?
Samuelson's bad contract.
I mean, it's not even that bad. It's $4 million. And they might buy him out.
Yeah, it's long.
It's long.
They should buy him out. I don't know if they will.
I guess it's
think
bad.
Think they'll buy him out?
Unless somebody can, you know, figure him out.
I mean, Clifton's a bad contract, but it's only three and it's only 1 year, right? So, anchor contracts, though, this is the first time they haven't had one that's like a huge number. Because, like, Poso was that. And then Skinner was that until he got back to being like a point-per-game player and someone who could score. But Yeah, I don't know what that would be. Yeah, but all those ideas, like those 30-year-old, you know, Marchand, I don't think would come here. But if you offer him $2 million more per year, maybe he'll think about it. That is the market I'm going to want them playing in. I still don't know how confident I am that they're going to try, though. Like, are they going to be in those meetings? Are they going to be making those calls? Are they going to call Brad Marchand this offseason? Are they going to call Marner? They tried to get Brad Richards. They failed.
That's a long time ago.
I know. But, like, are they going to even swing this go around? Or are they going to throw their hands up and say, yeah, we're not even going to try because we know we're just going to get denied on that front? Because I'd want them to at least try. By the way, I'm going back. I'm now at 2012, and I still haven't found the Sabres being in the top half of the league in age.
Which, it's not always great to be old, but, I mean, at some point.
Right. But I don't know how – I'm still trying to figure out how aggressive they'll really be in free agency. Trades, I feel like I could see them being pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Free agency, there are a lot of good names. And are they going to – like, do you think we're going to see a report that the Sabres are going to try to meet with Mitch Marner or something like that? That they're even going to be making an effort?
I mean, you'd like to see it knowing that you might just do it as PR. If you're the Sabres and
things, I think you'd want it out there if you were them.
That's right. If you're the Sabres and things are, whatever, rocky, you still have to operate like you know, fake it till you make it almost.
Mm-hmm.
Make those calls. You never know.
Yeah.
Make those calls. You got to do what you can and shoot your shots. That's the best I've got.
Yeah. I found the last time they were in the top half of the league in score in average age, and they were the eighth oldest team in 2010-2011.
And they won the division?
That's the year the last year they made the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
That's the seventh.
The year before. Gotcha. So the year after.
The last time they were in the top half of the league, they were in the playoffs.
It's been a kids team for a long time.
And listen, they could go add a couple of free agents, veterans. Trade for a couple guys. They're not going to be that this year.
Don't you think?
Like going into the year, they're still so young.
To this point, don't you think that? I mean, Lindy obviously would have value for this. Don't you think that Stahl and Yarmo are going to be leading that charge? Like, enough with kids.
Mm-hmm.
You've got plenty of kids.
Mm-hmm. Go get some veterans.
Yeah. You got a couple of veterans, but this, you know. I don't know.
I would like to believe that that's often how Pekkalainen operated in Columbus.
Right. Paterka and Byram, let's say they go. You're not coming back with picks and prospects. You're not coming back with like, well, it's Konsta Hellenius' time. Like, no.
Oh my goodness.
No, it's gonna be guys that play in the league. Find a way to get those guys. Like,
right. Right. The idea of someone from Rochester making the team out of camp sounds like just an abysmal idea to me. They could even earn it, and just like I just don't even want to. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see the 19-year-old be the catalyst for. Oh, hey, he's gonna be the reason.
803-0550.
Like Kulik, it's part of what your expectation is. Your expectation is just anything with the guy that looks good, you'll be happy with. Yuri Kulik last year, everyone feels pretty good about his season, right?
Yeah, really good.
You know how many points he had last year?
Is it like 30?
It's like 23.
Yeah.
Everyone feels good about it. That's the part of it, though.
He didn't play that. How many games
he played? He played like 60-something games. He's had 15 goals and like 9 assists. Guy played, again, like I'm good with him, and I think he's going to be a really good player for them. Lindy loves him, talked about at the end of the season. But the guy played 62 games for you. A lot of that is your number one center, and he had 9 assists. That's the rookie point.
You know, when you put it that way.
Like, you can't have 20-year-olds playing in roles like that anymore.
You can give us a call on this if you want. Quick point on the golf. The Travelers is this weekend?
The Travelers, yeah. They're ripping up this course.
What a follow-up to the U.S. Open, which is just, hey, try to hit it out of these giant patches of knee-deep stuff and grass that you lose your feet in. And now it's perfectly manicured greens that are shaved all the way to the water.
Mm-hmm.
This is at TPC River Highlands. It's a beautiful course. And the most beautiful thing about it is, here's golf, folks. Ready? Golf.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Open champ J.J. Spaun.
Yeah.
Only player under par at Oakmont. Look at this guy. His career is peaking. Where did I see him yesterday? 10 strokes off the lead. +2.
In round one.
Round one.
It's only round one.
10 strokes off in round one. Beautiful. Absolutely love to see it.
Yep.
I'm the U.S. Open champ. I'm made in the shade. I'm 10 strokes back in the first round.
Well, this course, everybody is obliterating because it's so much easier than Oakmont. Like Scheffler and who's tied in the lead with him? Scheffler and whoever's eight.
It's Austin
Eckerd or whatever.
Yeah, like
they're both eight under par.
Yeah, Rory is six under.
So they're on pace to be 32 under.
They just went for a 10-mile jog with ankle weights and they took them off.
Well, right, like but Spawn.
Oh man, I feel great.
The hardest course anyone's played on in like years. Spawn was minus one over four rounds, and yesterday at is it 10 times easier this golf course?
Oh yeah,
he was over par. He had a worse score at this course that everybody is like, it's so easy. It's a joke. And he was under par at Oakmont. That's wild.
Spieth withdrew. He's hurt. You see, he took a swing, and he was clearly in pain. Yeah.
Was the swing like throwing a club at the ground?
No, it's just teed off and like, ugh. So he's hurt.
Do you know who's going through it this year? You would bet him earlier in the year, right? Shane Lowry.
Oh, man. I saw him yesterday. He tried to chip up on the green twice and had it roll back on him.
Yes. I was stunned he didn't, like, throw his club.
Yeah.
Because he's been a hothead lately, and I did see that. That was a one-of-us moment. He's, like, 10 yards off the green, and it's, like, a little hill.
Yeah.
He put it on the hill, rolled back to his feet, then had a second shot at it, did the exact same thing, rolled right back to his feet.
This is an elevated event. This is a great tournament, this one. You know, they've got the floating umbrella in the water. You gotta love a golf tournament where there's water and they can go ahead and throw either a logo or a car. You know, it's like put a Jeep out there in the pond. That's I need that at my golf tournament. I'd like that at a British Open. Mm. Like, give me a FedEx logo. And they don't really have ponds at the British.
No, you need a good sponsor with a good logo. Like the umbrella works.
Pretty solid.
I don't need a giant. What are you trying to do? You put a giant FedEx logo in the water? I mean,
they do that for the FedEx Championship. There's a giant FedEx.
It's not the same.
I just like the floating logo. That's what I'm trying to say. Give me the moored logo.
Like if there was a Geico event of some sort, like put like a giant Godzilla sign, like the lizard from the commercials, put that in the lake.
Seems like a good idea to me. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you'd like. Hanging out, talking some Sabres offseason, among other things. The NFL Top 100, we're getting closer to that. And I saw another Top 100 to bring up. You got something?
ESPN came out with their quarter century team in the NFL.
Okay.
And there's a former Bill on there.
I bet I know who it is. I'm going to say I know who it is.
Okay.
We'll get that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.